Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, for the last couple of weeks, we have been studying the life of Joseph. Hallelujah. There are a lot of powerful lessons that we can learn from this man. Very great man. You know, when I read the Bible, I read until the person I'm reading about becomes my friend. I feel like Joseph has become my friend. It's one of the people that when I get to heaven, I want to see. Some of you, everyone in heaven will be a stranger. You'll be seeing them for the first time. You'll be knowing them for the first time. May that not be your portion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now, we began to learn from even before he was born. We saw the circumstances around his birth. How that his mother was barren. And the mother couldn't have children. And his mother was in a polygamous relationship. Jacob had two wives. And later they became four. Hey. And out of all these women, Joseph's mother couldn't bear children. So she became desperate for children. Do you understand? And I began to show you how that desperation is extremely dangerous. When you start being desperate in life, you have entered the realm of mistakes. You are about to make a mistake. Never make decisions out of desperation. I listen to what I'm saying. Yes. Never. Sometimes also when we become desperate, we hurt a lot of people. Joseph's mother said to Jacob, "Give me children else I die." Her desperation had caused her not to even filter her language. Give me children else I die. Only God knows what you say to the people around you when you become desperate. When life has pushed you into a corner. Some of us, we start hurting people when that happens. Are you here? You've gone home. So please get those messages I preach about desperation. Very, very powerful things. Hallelujah. Then we started talking about God's leading. We started studying how God was leading Joseph. You know, when God was leading Abraham, God appeared to Abraham a number of times. That in the book of John chapter 8, Jesus said, "And Abraham was happy when he saw me in my day." Powerful things. Jesus said that Abraham saw me. The people who are listening said, "You are mad. You have a devil. What do you mean Abraham saw you? How old are you?" But the way that God was leading Abraham was having many visions and experiences like that. One time he saw three men. And when he saw them, he was spiritual enough to notice that these are not normal or ordinary men. He invited them to his home, and it was God and two angels. Abraham had food with God. They sat and ate. I don't feel like I'm in church. Let me preach this side. At least they are smiling. Hallelujah. Amen. So they came and he ate with them. And when they finished eating, God and these angels started moving away. And as they were going, God said to Abraham that, will I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? And God started telling him that I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah. I have had complaints about the place. I'm going to destroy it. Amen. Only to find out that Abraham's cousin, or nephew rather, was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Abraham started interceding for the small boy. He started interceding, said, God, if you find 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you destroy the whole place? And God said, if I find 50, I will not destroy it for 50. Abraham interceded up until he got to 10. He said, surely there must be 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But when God got there, he didn't find even 10 people who are righteous enough for him to save the place. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we are the light of the world. Amen. We are the salt of the world. Amen. When God comes to your family, he must at least find you. Amen. And your family must know Christ because of you. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. May your family members not go to hell while you are alive. Amen. One woman was asleep. And suddenly Jesus appeared by her bed. And the Lord said to her, come. When she woke up, they suddenly went into the earth, down. They kept going down until they reached hell. When they got to hell, the Lord started showing her around hell. As he was doing this, to her shock, she saw her mother in hell. Imagine seeing your mother in hell. The woman started weeping and crying. And at the end of that experience, she asked the Lord and said, Lord, why would you take me there to see my mother? And the Lord said to her, for the fact that you are born again doesn't mean that your family is born again. You have to pray for them. You have to intercede for them. And some of them, you must lead them to Christ. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Hello? Can you hear what I'm saying? So God sometimes leads in the supernatural way. But when he was leading Joseph, we don't see any angels. We don't see any supernatural voices. Hallelujah. So I started showing you that sometimes God leads us without our involvement per se. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Joseph was just being led. He just saw things happening in his life. But even though his life was, in Afrikaans we say, Dier Makar. Oh, am I saying correct? Dier Makar. Dit beteken wat? Mad. Hey. Okay, that's not what I wanted to say, but anyway. Even though Joseph's life seemed scrambled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it looked like everything was going wrong. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong in his life. But I proved to you that even though that was the case, God was in control. And God was orchestrating everything that was happening in his life. Yeah. It was like God was playing chess with Joseph's life. Yeah. Do you remember when I showed you that? Now, last week I showed you that, because how can you know that God is leading you this way? Because in this way, you are not seeing any angel coming before you, next to your bed, and telling you that you will be with child. And then you can ask the angel that, how can I be with child since I know no man? And the angel said, the power of the Holy Ghost shall. You don't have any such experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? But even though you don't have it, how can you know that God is still leading my life? So we started talking about it last week. And I showed you that one of the things about Joseph's life was that God was with Joseph. Do you remember? Amen. And to cut the long story short, how can you know when God is with you? It is when your life is within the boundaries of God's word. when your life is within the boundaries of God's law. Many people struggle living within the boundaries of God's law. I'll give you just one example. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 18, I think. Yeah, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? What does it mean? Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Now, ask your neighbor, did you pray today? Hello? Ask them. Don't be afraid of them. Ask them. Tell them, Pastor asked me to ask you, did you pray today? Hello? You don't want to answer them. Just that one already is already a problem. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. So it's very, very important that you ensure that your life is within God's word. There are people who know the Bible, but they don't do the Bible. You might as well know the Constitution of South Africa or something. Leave the Bible alone if you are not going to do what the Bible says. There are some people who can, they can quote scriptures, but they're the most useless people. They'll tell you, the word of God says, pray without ceasing. But you check if they pray without ceasing. Tololo. Can you tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, smile, you're in church. Okay, please smile, okay? Stop scaring pastor, please. Amen. Today I have to fight for your amens. Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's very, very important. Very, very important. I told you that God has standards. God doesn't just accept anything. Amen. And one of his standards that he expects from us is we must be prayerful. We must be people of the word. Amen. If you are not a person of the word, then how will you know whether your life is within the boundary of God's word? Amen. Very key, very important. Amen. Every member of Healing Fire Ministry, you must be a word person. Amen. Very, very important. One of the people I love dearly is Kenneth Hagin. Very, very powerful man of God who is late now. I think he passed away in 2003. One time he was praying and suddenly the roof of his house opened and he saw Jesus coming down. And he kept coming down and he stood on the air just above his roof, where the roof would be. And Jesus started talking to him and Jesus said to him, I am here to teach you about demons. And so Jesus started teaching him about demons. If I remember correctly, Jesus was teaching him for 2 hours. So he was having this vision continuously for 2 hours. And as Jesus was teaching him, suddenly a small demon appeared in between Kenneth Hagin and Jesus. So this demon was in the middle of them and this demon started making noise. Can you imagine? And now Kenneth Hagin is so focused, he wants to hear everything the Lord Jesus is saying. And the Lord just continues speaking as though the demon is not there. So Jesus was just talking. And so when you deal with demons, and now Kenneth Hagin cannot hear Jesus anymore. This demon is busy making noise in between them. And so this demon now starts, burning some kind of smoke. And now he cannot hear the Lord anymore and he cannot see the Lord anymore. And so he starts asking himself, can't the Lord see this demon? Why isn't Jesus doing anything about this demon? Because I'm trying to hear what he's saying. And the Lord is continuing speaking as though there's no demon. Like nothing is happening. And so out of frustration, Kenneth Hagin confronts the demon. So in the name of Jesus. And suddenly the demon stopped and fell to the ground. And Kenneth Hagin said, get out of here. And he said, the demon said, I don't want to, but because you say I must go, I will go. And the demon left. And Jesus was just talking. So Kenneth Hagin said, excuse me, sir, please. Could you not see this demon that was distracting us? And Jesus said, I saw it. So if you saw it, then what? And then Jesus said, I couldn't do anything about it. Kenneth Hagin said, I didn't hear you correctly. You said you wouldn't. In other words, you mean that you can, but you don't want to. Then Jesus said, no, I said I couldn't. Then Kenneth Hagin said, maybe my hearing is not okay. You said you wouldn't, right? And then Kenneth Hagin said, Jesus started becoming angry. And he said, no, I said I couldn't. And Kenneth Hagin said, listen, I don't care that I'm having this vision and that I'm seeing you. But if you don't give me three scriptures that confirm what you are saying now, then I don't believe this whole vision. And you would think that Jesus would be angry. Kenneth Hagin said he saw him smiling. And he said, I won't give you three, I will give you four. Ash. I love that. Everything must be founded and based on God's word. Everything. So you have to become a serial word reader. Do you understand the word serial? I once worked with a certain gentleman. He said to me, how many subjects do we write in metric? How many subjects? Matriculants? Seven. He got seven distinctions. One, two. Do you know what's a distinction? Hello? Am I in church? You people are so quiet today. Do you know what's a distinction? What's a distinction in South Africa? At what level? 75. So all his marks were higher than 75. All of them. Math, science, whatever he chose. The guy was studying so much that he started getting sick. That his teacher said, okay, please stop studying. Stop studying. Stop studying. May you read the Bible so much that people say, okay, calm down, calm down. Amen. You are reading it too much now. Yeah. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. Yeah. This side, are you in church or you've gone home? Yeah. Say amen. Amen. Say it louder. Amen. Simba, I can't hear you. Aha. Hallelujah. The word of God is everything. If you leave the bounds of God's word, chances are you will lose the guidance of God. You lose it. I listen to what I'm saying. Now today I'm going to give you 2 points and then we go home. Come with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Yeah, read for me. Read it one more time. God causes everything to do what? To work together. For what? For the bad. Huh? For the destruction. For the what? For the good. Now, I'm sure that when you look at Joseph's life, based on what I've taught you, you can see that every event in his life was working for his good. Even the bad events. Do you remember? When they sold him to Egypt, it was for his good because of God's plan for him. When he became a slave, it was for his good. When the woman accused him of rape and they sent him to that specific prison, it was for his good. Because the position that Joseph eventually went into, that he received, there was no way in God's planet that he could have ever gone there. It was impossible. Completely impossible. He couldn't work himself up to the position of being prime minister in Egypt. It was impossible. Number one, he was a foreigner to even go far. So those positions, our governing party, a couple of months ago, introduced a woman who was going to be the minister of something. But this woman, her skin color didn't look like ours. Do you see? Number one. Number two, her eyes were like this. I don't want to say too many things. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was an uproar in the country. I don't know if the woman is still in her position. You can find that she's even South African. It's just that she doesn't look South African. And people are already fighting. Now imagine what would have happened to Joseph becoming, the president of Egypt as a foreigner. I'm just trying to explain. It was impossible. But events started happening for his good so that God can bring him there. Do you understand? Now here is the key. All things work together for the of who? Hello? For those who do what? Who love God. This grace of working for the good is not for everyone. It is for those who love God. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you love God or you don't love God? What are they saying? If you don't love God, when you go to prison, you will stay in prison. It's not working together for your good. It's working together for your bad. You might even die there if you don't love God. The reason why things were working well for Joseph was because of his love for God. Go to Genesis 39. Nontantla, I want you to buy a King James. I want you to read for me in King James. 39. I think it was verse 7. What does verse 7 say? Okay, pause. I want everybody to get there. Genesis 39, we are reading from verse 7. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read, sister.
And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded.
Some people are not shy. Eh? Come and sleep with me. Try. That boldness like that. And there are people like this in this world. You'll be very shocked. If somebody calls you like that, run away. I said, do what?
Run.
The Bible tells us that there are giants in hell. Giants. And the reason why these giants are in hell are because of, for one reason or another, one of the reasons is because they met strange women. Someone says strange women. When you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see a lot about strange women. And one of the scriptures says that there are giants. These giants are called Rephaims. The Bible says that they are in hell. And one of the reasons is because they went and joined themselves with strange women. Now, when we refer to you as a giant, it means you've got a great future. It means you've got a great destiny. But true as that may be, if you mingle with the wrong people, as great as your life is supposed to be, it can end up being nothing. So be very afraid of people who are calling you to do wrong things. No matter how nice and delicious the wrong things seem, they are luring you to hell. Are you listening to me? Some of them are nice. They have six, not even six packs, eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. When they talk, they have a velvet voice that you even feel shaking here when they talk. You feel the shaking here. Their perfume is like a presence. When they come into the room, you feel their presence because of the perfume they have. Be afraid. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't hear your amens. Are you disagreeing with what I'm saying? So, Pastor, me, I like the 8 packs. Okay, okay. I leave you alone. Read for me, sister. Mm-hmm. It will be a great sin against who? Against God. Look at this guy who was hated by his own family. His own flesh and blood conspiring against him. Planning to kill him. Selling him as a slave. Here he finds himself in the land of slavery. Far away from his family and everyone he knows. But when the opportunity to sin, sin is nice. I'm telling you, if it wasn't nice, people wouldn't sin. Yeah. It's nice to find yourself, to wake up and on Johnny Bravo's chest. It's nice. What do you think, Tumel?
He's laughing.
Hallelujah. It's like, people do these things because it's nice. It's nice. When people are sinning, they're not like, well, I don't want to sin. But no, they are enjoying. They're enjoying. To the fullest. They're doing it because it's nice. But even though the temptation was so nice, Joseph said, I can't do this to my God. He was in love with his God. Hallelujah. Are you in love with your God? Are you sure?
Amen.
You must be in love with him if you are going to enjoy the benefit of all things working together for your good. Amen. Go to John 21, verse 15. Quickly, I want you to move fast. Who's asking these questions? Jesus. And what is the question he asks? Do you love me? Ask your neighbor, do you love God? Now, it means the next thing is the most important thing. Yes.
Then feed my lambs.
Then feed my lambs. Come, come, brother. Now, it's very easy to say that I love this brother. Okay? Some of you, your mind is already, so calm down. As one of my church members here, I love him very much. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I can shout at him. You saw me shout at him. You saw I just, hey! But I love him. It's very cheap for me to just say I love him if there's no action to prove that I love him. Do you understand? Many of us cheaply just say we love Jesus. Oh, me, I love Jesus. Uncle Sam, Sam Tandu Jesus. Ave Muhle. Hello? But he said to Peter, Mr. Peter, it's not just about you saying you love me. If you love me, you will demonstrate it. By doing what? I can't hear you. Hello? Look at me. By feeding by feeding his lambs, his sheep. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Says, if you love me, you'll do what? Feed my... What's in your version? Sheep. Is it sheep or lambs? Lambs. Okay, let's go with hers because she's the reader. Hallelujah. Hey. Recently, my wife was telling me that, you know, when we eat lamb, we are eating a baby sheep. I said, you mean I'm eating a baby sheep? They haven't even allowed it to grow a little bit. I said, no, when they say it's lamb, it means, I actually went to check in Google. A lamb is a sheep that is younger than 1 year old. So we are already frying it. Psh, lamb chops. Psh, we are not even allowing it to grow a little bit. We are already frying it. My God. Some of us, instead of feeding God's lamb, we are frying them. Instead of feeding them, demonstrating God's love by giving them God's word, we are ready to fry and eat them. What a shock. So, it's not enough to just say you love somebody. But what are the proofs in your life that you love? Especially now we are talking about Jesus. When I met my wife back then, and she was my beloved, I said, sister, I'm going to marry you. And I married her fast. I didn't waste time. People were saying I'm moving too fast. I said, just calm down. Let me do what I'm doing. Hey. People were even thinking that I had impregnated her. She was not pregnant at all, even a little bit. So, but why are you in a hurry? Why are you in a hurry? I'm a human being. If I don't marry her, before you know, she'll be... And then there'll be... People are ready to do that. So I married her. I didn't just say, I love you, sister, I love you. When I look at your eyes, oh, sorry, your hair. Oh. Hey. Some of you have been in a relationship now, you are going on 20 years. 20 years. Go sit down, bro. Put your hands together for him. 20 years, no marriage. Should I leave that one? Okay, I'll leave it. Feed my sheep. Continue reading.
Verse 16. Mm-hmm. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?
Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? What was the response?
Yes, Lord. Peter said, you know I love you.
Yay, Lord. You know that I love you. So Jesus was not looking for words. But Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he said what?
Then take care of my sheep.
Take care of them. Continue.
A third time he asked.
Was Jesus a bit mad for him asking three times? Or was he trying to really show this guy his heart that this is what is important to me? If you can do this thing, then it will be clear. Nobody will have to tell me that you love me. You don't even have to say it. Just by watching you, it will be music to my ears. It will be worship to me that you love me. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
The third time, read and finish.
Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep.
Then feed my sheep. You know, I don't understand why Christians find this so difficult to understand. It's clear. It's in black and white. If you love Jesus, you'll be involved in his work. If you love Jesus, you'll be involved in ministering to the lost. It's simple. There's no... Is it Chinese? Were you reading Chinese? What language do you speak? Maybe we should read it in your language. Do you understand what she was reading? I think it's too clear. Too simple. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, do what? Feed my sheep. If you love me, take care of them. Now, when Jesus is talking about feeding here, you know, some of you might be thinking that is natural food he's talking about. Jesus didn't have natural sheep. He wasn't a farmer. So it's not like he had some sheep and now he was leaving and said, Peter, please take care of them. But the sheep here are human beings. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. And the feeding that God was expecting Peter to do was feeding them by the word of God. Amen. Teaching them how to pray. Teaching them how to read the Bible. Teaching them to trust in God. Teaching them to walk in the precepts of God. Teaching them to walk by faith. Keeping their eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. This is what God was expecting. Peter, take care of them. Show them how to live by the Spirit. One day, a certain Ethiopian, the Bible tells us he was an Ethiopian. He had come to Jerusalem. Aish, this Ethiopian. Now in those days, not everybody could go into Jerusalem and fellowship and worship with all the other Jews. Especially when you're a foreigner like that, an Ethiopian even. So this guy would come when the Jews were having their feasts and their Passover and everything. He would come and just worship from outside. And as he was on his way home, Philip was busy preaching the gospel. And as he was preaching, there was power, there was miracles. Even sangomas were coming to Christ. Then the Bible says that all of a sudden, Philip disappeared. And he appeared next to this Ethiopian. May God bring back that anointing in Jesus' name. Disappearing and appearing anointing. Eish. And he met the Ethiopian there. And the Holy Spirit led him to go talk to the guy. And this Ethiopian guy was reading the Bible. Isaiah, I think it's 53. Was reading. So Philip went to him and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the guy said, how will I understand unless somebody expounds to me? So you can see this guy was hungry for God. This guy was thirsty for God. This guy was longing for God. That even though he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to a place where he was not welcomed. A place where he couldn't come and mingle with everybody and worship this God that he kept on hearing about. He was even reading what he couldn't understand. Because he was longing. He knew that this God is a real God. So he was reading. And Philip said, do you understand what you are reading? The guy said, Charlie, I'm reading. I said, I don't know what it's talking about. So Philip started explaining to him. He was bruised for our iniquities. It's talking about Jesus. And he started preaching Christ. And the guy got born again there. And the guy asked, he said, now I believe. Can't I be baptized? And Philip baptized him in water there. Was saved right there. There are people who are hungry. Not for food, but for God. But they don't have anybody who will come and teach them. Who will share with them. They don't have. Many years ago, I went preaching in hospitals. I used to go preach at hospitals. And I used to go from ward to ward and bed to bed. And I remember one time I went there and there was an old man sleeping there. And I went and I woke him up and I said, "Sir, will you give me 5 minutes? I just want to tell you about Jesus and I want to pray for you." And the guy said, "Oh, no problem." And so I started telling him about the Lord. When I finished telling him about Jesus, I asked him, "Would you like to be born again? Till the day I die and for all eternity." I will never forget that man's response. He said, "Oh, I would love to be born again." That's what he said to me. It felt to me like he was saying to me, "It's like I've been waiting for somebody to come and tell me this good news that you are telling me." He said, "Oh, I would love to be born again." And I led him to Christ and he was gloriously born again. If my memory serves me right, while I was leading him to Christ, suddenly another sick person there started just worshiping God out of the blue. What a glorious day, I'll never forget. You are here, you say you love God. You don't share the word of God with anyone. You don't share the word of God with your colleagues. You don't share the word of God with your children. You don't share the word of God with your spouse. You don't share the word of God with anybody. But you say you love him. I've come to tell you, he said, "If you love me, feed." Feed. 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 Get involved. Stop sitting down. Christians have become very lazy. Just come and sit down and go home. I must come. I'm getting angry. Feed. When I was in university, I tried my best to keep to myself. But if anybody made the mistake to come close to me, they'll be born again. You make the mistake to come and sit by me, you'll be born again. When I went to university, I had told myself that, those who are writing matric, listen very carefully. I told myself that I go to class, I receive what I've been taught, I go home. That was my lifestyle. So I used to have earphones. When I catch the bus on my way to class, I'll be listening to preaching. When I get there, when I'm waiting for the lecturer, I'll be sitting down listening to preaching. But somebody will be bold enough to come and talk to me with my earphones on. If you come talk to me, you get born again. Between breaks, you'll see people surrounding me. I'll be teaching them the word of God. Teaching them the word of God. Teaching them. Some of them till today are still born again. Some of them are now they are preaching the word of God. They are leaders in their churches. I will never forget one day I was teaching three ladies. Some of them said, "Okay, you know these things that you are teaching us, can we not do it every day?" I said, "It's fine, I'll teach you." And I sat down with them, I was teaching them. As I was teaching, it was like I saw heaven open. And I saw God looking at us. And I saw him smiling. "Peter, lovest thou me? If you love me, feed my sheep." Will you feed them? Or will you allow them to continue in their mistakes? Some people are going to Sangomas not because they like Sangomas, but because they don't know any other. They don't know any other way. They don't have somebody who will come and teach them. They don't have somebody who will care for them. This guy was to come quickly, this guy. When he came to our church, he was there. Those days, there was those Wi-Fis. Do you remember? Are they still there? 20 Wi-Fis. He was there on the Wi-Fi. Huh? He's laughing, isn't he? And the sister came and said, "We're inviting you to our church." Oh, maybe you saw Jesus and he came down and he said, "Sandile, my son." Give him a mic. Huh? You saw Jesus. What happened? She came and gave you a what?
A flyer.
A flyer. And invited you to church. Did you come?
I came.
You didn't come immediately.
Amen.
So what eventually made you come?
I kept the flyer with me.
Yeah.
So I kept the
Yeah.
So after 2 weeks, I decided to...
You know, as he says this, I'm reminded one guy, he was given the flyer. All right, so after some time, he came to church. So after he got born again and he was now part of us, he said that he hated that flyer. He hated it. I was now saying it as a testimony that when I looked at your face, I said, look at this guy. God changed his life. So when you came to church, you suddenly became this brother. Now we gave you a mic and you started. What happened? You used to do what?
To run away.
After church. Some of you, he's talking about you. Some of you, as I'm preaching now, you are checking. Say, hey, pastor. You're already thinking about how to slice. Mamrute, how many times do we have church in a week? At least this church here. Once. Couple of hours. When we finish, you are ready. So you used to run away, and then what happened? How many Sundays? Every.
Every Sunday I would run away.
And she would run after you when? Every time you run away.
Every time she would call you.
Aish, if you love me, feed my sheep. Here's the sheep. The sheep was running away. And she said, no, sheep, come back.
Amen.
Come back. I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I will not allow you. And so what happened? You started getting involved.
Yeah, because they introduced me to the ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what can you do in church? Mm-hmm. So
they invited me to stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
After church.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed
with
the
community. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Jesus. What would have happened if Mom Ruti was not chasing you? Thank you. Put your hands together for him. May you have somebody in your life who will chase you until you submit to God. When we moved here, there was a certain brother who used to come to our church. We used to meet at the school up there. And there's this brother, his name was Three Men. How many men? Three Men. That was his name. No, I'm not joking. It's not a nickname, it's his name. So he started coming to our church, do you understand? And he was really enjoying coming to church. I remember Mom Ruti said to me that when I went and invited him to church for the first time, I was afraid of him. He looked scary. No, of a honest truth. He had rings on every finger, tattoos everywhere. Do you understand? And if you love me, do what? Feed me. He didn't say choose. The ones that look nice, they're my sheep. So she kept inviting the guy. Did he come immediately? It took some time. Even though you're afraid, you kept calling him. Hey, Mamuruti. And so eventually he came to church. I still remember five rings on each finger. Huh? Muscle shirt. Yeah, I used to come with a muscle shirt. He was a little muscular guy. He used to come with a muscle shirt with all his tattoos and rings on every finger and earrings. Hey, that guy. Three men. How many?
Three.
So he started coming to church, All of a sudden, we started seeing no more muscle shirt. We saw normal shirt. Hey. We started seeing jacket. The rings started coming out one by one. When he comes to church now, he was looking like a brother. Isn't it a powerful story? When we moved here, because his trade was building, I said, three men, I need you to come and help and build. The guy disappeared. That was the last time I heard of him. Yesterday, Mamrut was telling me that three men passed away. I said, what? Well, what do you mean? He said he was in Joburg and some people chased him and killed him. I said, if three men only came when I told him to come. He said, this thing of running away from church is dangerous. It's dangerous. May God produce people from this church who love his sheep, who will take care of his sheep, who will pray for the sheep. When you do this work, you are demonstrating love. It's not just words. Imagine if somebody, you are married with someone, but every day, and then after some time, how do you say my wife kasut? Garatam sadwagane. Garat. Machaka. Huh? What does machaka mean? My wife, it means my wife. Oh, okay. One day, I was in a taxi from Alexandra to Pretoria. As we were waiting for the taxi to be full, the driver came and opened the door and said, hey, there's a woman here who's asking to come into the taxi. She doesn't have money. So that meant, because the driver still wanted his money full, it means that you are going to sit uncomfortably. Instead of four, now there'll be five in a row. Do you understand? That type of thing. And so we said, it's fine. Just... because, you know what, you're just in a hurry to get back home. And so the woman came and sat in the row behind me. And the woman sitting next to her said, what's wrong? And she started explaining that the boyfriend beats her. Sometimes the guy will come back home 3 a.m. and just beat her. Just beat her every day, beat her. Then the woman said, why don't you leave this guy? Can't you see he's going to kill you? Then the lady responded and said, I know that he loves me. I'll never forget. She said, I know that he loves me. And Jesus was not talking about that kind of love. If you love me, feed my lambs, my sheep. May you be a Christian who is not just talk, but may you be a Christian who demonstrates your love for Jesus. Then when you start demonstrating your love for Jesus, then you will start seeing all things work together for your good. They will not work together unless you demonstrate that you love him. Because they work together for the good to those who love him. Who love him. Who love him. Who love him. When you see somebody who loves God, he doesn't have anything, even his shoes falling apart, don't be too quick to judge. Just give him time. Give her time. You'll be shocked what God will do. I'll never forget a man of God called Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. He was dyslexic when he was growing up. Dyslexic means that you can't read. The words, they just there when you are trying to read. When he got born again, he started learning how to read by reading the Bible. So when he used to speak King James Bible language. Not that, it's because that's how he learned to read. So when he spoke, he was using the these and the thous, and he was talking like that. And the Lord said to him, he must go to, there was a man of God called Archbishop Benson Idahosa in those days. And the Lord said to him, that guy is your father. Go to him. He will tell you what to do. And so he traveled from Ghana to Nigeria and went to Archbishop Benson Idahosa and said, the Lord said, I must come to you. You will tell me what to do. And so the Archbishop said, join my Bible, my Bible school. When he was in Bible school, remember, he was dyslexic growing up. He didn't have grade one, grade two, grade. He didn't have any education. And then the Bible school, they were asking, you know, some heavy topics, and they were dealing with many things. And one time they were dealing about a specific subject. And so when the lecturer had finished teaching, the lecturer had dribbled him nicely. He didn't understand anything that was said. And so the lecturer said, Nicholas, come and explain to us what I had said. And the previous week, the lecturer was teaching about speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. So when he got to the front of the class, he said, Pirundi rizitokupate. If you know him, that's how he, Pirundi zitapaid, zubila kabila topolatia. And then he said to the lecturer, last week you were teaching about tongues and interpretation of tongues. The answer is in the tongue that I spoke. Interpret it. When he got to his room, he was in tears. And he said, Lord, I told you made a mistake by bringing me here. He said, Lord, I told you made a mistake by bringing me here. And the Lord said to him, haven't you been told? Don't you know that I am a master of taking nothing and making something out of it? Never laugh at a Christian who loves God. Never laugh at a sister who loves God. Never laugh at a brother who loves God. Because all things are working together for their good. Sooner or later, God will show the chess moves that he's been making to bring that person to their expected end. I listen to what I'm saying. Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep, my lambs. Tell a neighbor, say, get involved. Tell a neighbor, say, get involved, get involved, get involved, get involved. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.